I told you I had style. Welcome to my dojo. This is Kung Fu Pizza Party, and I'm your host, Brandon Knight. And today, I am here to fulfill one of my challenges as I sit down to review one of the most iconic Kung Fu films of all time, a movie I had originally planned on maybe savoring and building up to, but instead I'm here to review Drunken Master, starring Jackie Chan. And if you're dropping into the show for the very first time, first off, welcome. If you're curious to know about this whole challenge thing, allow me to explain what's going on here. Because here on Kung Fu Pizza Party, I seek to deliver high-flying action in 30 minutes or less and serve up some wisdom one slice at a time. The thing is, though, is that there have been times where the show has gone over that 30-minute mark. I did not meet my promise to deliver high-flying action in 30 minutes or less. And when that happens, I have to take on a challenge to repay my debt and restore my honor. And one of the challenges I had to take on was to play 2B Roulette. You ever played 2B Roulette before? Hop on 2B sometime and just pick one of their film categories, and you will realize just the wide array of great films and not so great films that this streaming service has. It's got everything. It has a little bit of everything for everybody, and they have a ton of categories as well. I had one of the episodes go over its 30-minute mark, and my guest was going to help me play 2B Roulette. So I had them pick a number between 1 and 20, and whatever number they chose, I was going to go to the martial arts section of 2B, scroll to that number, and watch and review that movie. And lo and behold, I won 2B Roulette, because it landed smack dab on Drunken Master. Again, one of the most influential, iconic Kung Fu films, Jackie Chan movies, Kung Fu comedies. It hit so many of the all-time great lists here. And it was smack dab in between one of the Three Ninjas sequels and some direct-to-DVD film I had never heard of that I'm sure was trash. So, like, I won. I won roulette. And so this wasn't so much a challenge in a, oh, this is going to be uncomfortable, like the Steven Seagal movie review I am putting off doing. But this was more of a delicious treat. I had planned on taking my time. Jackie Chan has such a large film catalog. This would be the one downside to this, is that Jackie Chan has such a large film catalog. There's so many movies to watch and review with Jackie Chan that the fact that it's like I'm already having to knock off one of his most influential, iconic movies is a bit like, oh, well, I might have to figure out a reason to run it back at some point with this one. But here we are, talking about Drunken Master. Now, back in January, I reviewed Snake in the Eagle's Shadow to celebrate the beginning of the new lunar year. And I talked about how the blueprint that is made in that film is improved upon here with Drunken Master. And it becomes an ongoing theme, an ongoing basic storyline outline that many other films, including The Karate Kid, uses for building their stories out. Here with Drunken Master, I can say that there are clear instances where the films are similar and clear instances where the films are different. Snake in the Eagle's Shadow is definitely the first attempt to really try and move Jackie Chan into a more comedic role. This movie definitely feels like full-blown Jackie Chan comedy, as we have come to expect. We even get a very brief glimpse of him fighting with a jacket, using a jacket in a combat sequence. So it is very, it feels more familiar to, you know, especially for me as somebody who grew up watching a lot of the like late 80s, 90s, early 2000s Jackie Chan films. This definitely is moving more towards that style of Jackie Chan movies that I am more familiar with. But one of the biggest similarities between Snake in the Eagle's Shadow and Drunken Master is the cast and the director. Because as I've mentioned several times now, we have Jackie Chan again in a lead role. And playing his master is, once again, Yuan Siu Tian. And directing both films is Yuan Wu Ping, who would go on to either direct or be a fight choreographer, fight advisor, person on all of your favorite films, including but not limited to Crouching Tiger, Hidden Dragon, Crouching Tiger, Hidden Dragon 2, Kill Bill Volume 1 and 2, at least two, I think it's 2 and 3 of the Matrix movies. Matrix was Reloaded and Evolution, whatever. Kung Fu Hustle, Forbidden Kingdom, and so many other great martial art films. I think there was one of the Ip Man movies he was involved with as well. Yuan Wu Ping has made his mark on kung fu and martial art media from the late 70s to now. He even has a movie in development currently. Like, this guy just keeps putting out films and keeps putting out bangers. Like, he's got a lot of movies, but again, it continues to be so many iconic, either single iconic films or iconic franchises, I guess you could put it as well. The plot is different, and the character growth in both Snake and Drunken Master are very different, because in Snake and the Eagle's Shadow, Jackie Chan is like the all the way thorough loser who just gets picked on, beaten up, and is looked down upon by everybody. Here in Drunken Master, Jackie Chan is actually a very well-rounded martial artist. And because of that, his character growth isn't so much in Kung Fu, although he does learn Drunken Fist, obviously. But his character growth is really more so marked by a change from being an incredibly cocky individual to a very humble, teachable student. That is really more so the change that goes through here. Whereas in Snake and the Eagle's Shadow, Jackie Chan had to like learn everything, self-worth, kung fu, all of it. Here, the character growth is really more so rooted in the fact that Jackie Chan goes from being a very self-centered, cocky fighter to still a very good fighter, but very humble and very teachable. And this comes from being humiliated. For some reason, in this village that Jackie Chan lives in, there is a guy who is kind of like a bounty hunter, mercenary person who he gets these bounties on individuals and goes and kung fu kills them. And one day Jackie Chan is in his way. They have a fight and this guy just outright verbally and physically humiliates Jackie Chan. And this is between that and the training that he is going through with his instructor, played by Tian. He comes to the end of himself and is able to then grow and change into the Drunken Master. Tian reprises his role, essentially. He's pretty much the same character, where he is this quirky old man who looks like he shouldn't be good at kung fu, but is basically unstoppable. One other thing that makes Snake and the Eagle's Shadow different from Drunken Master, but makes Drunken Master similar to the Jet Li movie I reviewed back in March, Legend of the Red Dragon, is that Drunken Master, Jackie Chan and Tien both play historical folk heroes of China, but the story itself is a work of historical fiction. Jackie Chan plays Wang Fei Hong, and Tien plays, let me get his name here, it is Beggar Ho, I believe? Beggar So. He plays Beggar So. Both of these men were historical figures and folk heroes of China in Kung Fu, and actually Wong, Jackie Chan's character, was really more so known for being a prominent physician along with his martial art prowess. Fun fact, in the English dub that I watched of Drunken Master, Jackie Chan's character is renamed to Freddie Wong. Love that. Instead of Wong Fei Hung, it's Freddie Wong. Love that. Anyway, so and I really like that about Kung Fu films and Kung Fu media when we take historical, when they take historical characters, historical people, even if they are like more so known for their folk hero stories, taking these people and writing a story around them that may or may not have happened. The physician aspect of Jackie Chan's character, Wong, has no bearing in this movie. There's no mention whatsoever of the fact that he is a doctor. It is all about the kung fu in Drunken Master. But I really like it that they have this element or this process of taking these real people from folk history, folk legend as well, and putting them in stories that just at least exposes people to these individuals. I never would have heard of these people if it wasn't for the fact that I sat down and watched Drunken Master and did a little bit of research to prepare for this episode. I wouldn't have known that they're real people. And it's a little bit better than some of our examples from the West. For example, Abraham Lincoln Vampire Hunter or Vampire Slayer, whatever that movie is called. Like, it's, I know the book is supposed to be, I know it's supposed to be somewhat like a humorous take on the life of Abraham Lincoln or whatever, but like, you know, it's these movies like Legend of the Red Dragon or Drunken Master. Like, yeah, there is some like kung fu cinema going on here, some like, good for a movie, not really going to happen in real life moments. But still, it's like more believable than Abraham Lincoln hunting vampires. Just a thought. And like I said, Jackie Chan primarily goes through a character change here, becoming a more humble individual. But he also is taught by Beggar Ho. Beggar, I keep messing this up. I have to know. Beggar So. He does learn from Beggar So, Drunken Fist. Now, Drunken Fist, surprisingly enough, is an actual kung fu style. Drunken Fist style is a kung fu style that, like all the other animal styles, is there to mimic. So the animal styles of like tiger, snake, monkey, those are some of the more common ones. They mimic the movements of those creatures as fighting styles. This is the case with Drunken Fist. You are mimicking the movement of a drunk person. There are at least two broad schools of thought. One of them is rooted in the Shaolin Buddhist tradition of Kung Fu, and then there's also a Taoist tradition with Drunken Fist as well, which when I told our resident Taoist Joshua Knoll that, he was pleasantly surprised and happy about the idea that he can have a Kung Fu style to now go learn as well. And like I said, you are to, in Drunken Fist, you mimic the movement of a drunk person, which on paper does not sound like a good idea whatsoever, right? And I will say, footwork-wise, this in real life application, you could be tripping over yourself or being knocked over very easily. What is nice about Drunken Fist, though, and is something that actually makes it a very, could make it a very helpful fighting style, is the fact that because of the erratic movement aspect of the style, it is a very defensive style built around trickery. It is built around bobbing and weaving, feinting, like not actually like passing out, but like, you know, distracting techniques. And although the footwork, again, is very wonky and could cause issues, it is also because of the way you're moving with your hands and your feet, it can be a very distracting style as well, just visually of like, I don't know what they are trying to come at me with here. It's very well-rounded. It has strikes, kicking, trapping, grappling elements within it, but it is predominantly known for its trickery and deceit. And like I said, footwork aside, I could see the actual benefit of trying this out. I don't know if I would. I actually do kind of want to try it out a little bit, if I'm being honest. I would like to try and pick up. There are some books out there on Drunken Fist, so I might start dabbling a little bit with that. I've been wanting to start dabbling more in Kung Fu, as I talked about back in February. It's kind of been one of those things of like, I just want to spend time with an actual Kung Fu style. And for some reason, one of my blind spots, one of my toxic traits is the fact that I think I could pick up Kung Fu really easily for some reason. I don't know why, but I feel very confident in myself to learn Kung Fu. And if you know Kung Fu and you're listening to this, please don't beat me up too badly for that claim. One of the other big tricking elements, well, trick things that you can do within Drunken Fist is the fact that since you are mimicking a drunk person, given the context where you may have to use this, you may have a big advantage of giving the illusion that you are wasted when in reality you're quite sober and can definitely know what you are doing. This, however, is contrary to what happens in Drunken Master. Everything I said up until that point is, roughly speaking, what Drunken Fist style is like. However, in Drunken Master, oh no, you are going to get hella wasted as you are in your fight. For Jackie Chan, it's kind of like this build-up element with his character, kind of like when you're building up your like a power bar in a video game, so that way you can use your special move. While he is fighting people, he'll be taking drinks. It's wine, so he'll be doing like sucking down shots of wine or flipping the bottle, whatever. So that way, by the end of the fight, he is fully drunk in full Drunken Fist technique mode. That is opposed to his master, who is always drunk. He is never not drunk. He is never sober in this movie. There's actually one scene where he is almost out of wine. He's like out of wine. And he sends Jackie Chan into town to go get some more wine. And they're not that far from the town. They kind of live in like this little hut a ways from the town, but they're not that far. Jackie Chan is gone a little longer than he should be. He's like, instead of just getting the wine and coming back, he's like eating a ton. This is like a reoccurring joke in the movie, is that Jackie Chan is like a bottomless pit who just keeps eating throughout the movie. And during this time period that cannot be longer than 2 hours, they show the master at one point, and he is starting to shake. He is already going through withdrawal after 2 hours of not drinking. That is not good. And let's just put out a little PSA at this point that, personally, I do not have a problem with drinking. I drink. I do think it is unwise to intentionally get drunk to get drunk. It happens, obviously, if you're not, you know, watching what you're eating and how much you're eating and drink and the water hydration that you are drinking along with your alcohol. It happens that, you know, you may have a little too much to drink, but to actively pursue getting drunk, comma, also just always being drunk just all the time in your natural state, that is not healthy. Don't do that. Even if it does make you better at Kung Fu, don't do that. That's not just the idea alone. Like, if I did that, I would throw up immediately. It would not. One spin kick, one strike to the stomach, I would throw up. And I guess it's worth noting that they do a lot of ab exercises. So maybe the idea also within Drunken Fist is that to have really strong. Have a really strong core, so that way if you do get struck there, you don't just immediately throw up everything all over your opponent. But, you know, how about instead we just don't get drunk? Let's just not, and definitely let's not just live in a constant state of drunkenness. That's not good. So that aside, again, if you have never seen this and you are a Jackie Chan fan or a Kung Fu movie aficionado, you have to watch it. This is required viewing. It's Enter the Dragon and this movie and Ip Man and Crouching Tiger, Hidden Dragon. Those are like the four everybody has to watch. Maybe we'll throw Hero in there as well. Those are the five movies everybody has to watch. It is required viewing. So check this movie out if you haven't yet already. I will watch it again because I want to spend more than just, I'm at 20 minutes now. I want to spend more than just 20 minutes once on this movie. Other movies, absolutely. I will watch it once, do one review on it, and never want to touch it again. I'm looking at you, the 2024 remake of The Crow. I never want to touch that movie again. But it's going to be a challenge one day, isn't it? It's going to be a challenge one day that I'm going to have to do that one again. I will absolutely watch this movie again, and I will absolutely go out of my way to purchase a copy at some point. I don't, obviously. I had to go on Tubi and watch it. And Tubi Roulette was so fun that I will probably make that one a challenge at some point again. I'm keeping track of the ones I have and trying to see, like, based off of listener engagement, like, okay, this one seemed to be pretty popular, maybe I'll do this one again. But I had fun waiting, cringing to see what my movie was going to be that I'm willing to play again, and I'll probably have to watch Karate Girl Kick to the Groin, which is a movie on Tubi, folks. I did not just make up that title. That is a real movie on Tubi. But thank you for listening to today's episode. I have to make sure that I end challenge episodes early, that I end them early, so that way I don't have to pick up another challenge off of the back end of it. So thank you for listening to today's episode. If you haven't yet already, please rate and review this show wherever you get your podcasts, and pass this episode along to a friend who you think would get some enjoyment out of it. You can follow the show on Instagram at Kung Fu Pizza Party, and on Letterboxd, Kung Fu Pizza PRTY, where you can get a short review of the movie before the episode goes live. You would have already known how much I like this movie if you follow me on Letterboxd. You can also check out my YouTube channel, Studio 219, a place for faith and pop culture. And check out the other great shows here on the Anazile Ministries podcast network, like Systematic Geekology, Why I Don't Like, and my sister show, My Seminary Life, where I talk about theology, Christian thought, philosophy, stuff like that. Thank you again for listening to this episode. This has been Kung Fu Pizza Party, where I have most definitely delivered high-flying action in 30 minutes or less and served up some wisdom one slice at a time. And don't drink and drive. That seems like an appropriate thing to say. Okay, bye.